You pitched in Baker Bowl in Philadelphia, which was just a little old bandbox, man.
Yeah.
They talk about the wall at Fenway Park. That's a long ways out there compared to right here in Baker Bowl.
Oh, yeah, high fence. Well, it was kind of like, you ever see old Danville Park?
How, yes, sir. I sure
have. A lot of that Baker Bowl.
Big park.
Was kind of like that.
Yeah.
Only the wind didn't blow in. I've seen balls hit out of that park over the right field fence, actually go out, be up high, and the outfield would give up on them, and the ball would go back in. It was times it'd be a real strong wind.
Are you talking about Baker Bowl or League Park in Danville?
Danville. No, it was so high, the wind didn't affect it. Anybody hit the ball.
But Baker Bowl, and those. That must have been some place to pitch. And the Phillies had a good hitting ball club, Klein and Hurst. And
yeah, Bartell was with them. Mm-hmm. I know he had, I stowed up on him. I'd gone in for relief, and he hit one against the right field fence. You know the distance? I don't know why that one says over 250.
It wasn't long. It was short. It was short right field fence. And it was galvanized tin, too. Rattle off that.
I can see why Odu would be a good hitter in that park. He could pull. Odu.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But he was a pretty fair hitter.
Led the league that year.
Yeah.
32, yeah. Sure did. Well, of course, Klein in that park, too. Klein was tough in that park.
And, the first baseman.
Don Hurst.
Hurst.
Yeah. They were nervous. How was Klein? Klein must have hit somewhere else because he's hitting like 360 or 370 every year. He didn't play all his games in that ballpark. He must have hit pretty
well. Well, I didn't pitch. I didn't pitch a lot. Most of the times I'd go in relief against him. Mm-hmm. Of course, and the polo ground. Terry didn't want no part of well pitch, but the fun thing when I was pitching, regardless, center field, if I had a good center fielder, could go either way. I know I was pitching against Boston, and I'd pitched against Red Worthington in the National League, Rochester, I was on the coast in 31. In 30.
You were in Toronto, yeah.
In 30. And I pitched at Worthington, and I pitched a lot against him. And he had a groove out where he'd hit in right field. And I was pitching, and I said he hit me to right center. Oh no! Don't you pitch him inside. He'll wear those bleachers out in that field. And I'm a son of a gun. He beat me. Right, if he'd have been playing him where I wanted him to pitch, he wouldn't have had to move for the ball.
Who was your center fielder with the Giants? Joe Moore, Ripple.
Ripple and Moore play.
I can't remember who the center fielder was.
Didn't Freddie Lindstrom play center field, son?
Yes, he did. He sure did.
Yeah, he was playing then. And the guy that got killed in Old Millfield.
No. Yeah, I know who you mean.
But he read would hit me that way. You could just play him in a spot out in right center field, and they were never done. They always figured that he'd pull other guys, but he'd hit me the same way.
You mentioned Simmons a while ago. It sounded like you had pretty good luck with Simmons.
Great. I think in the 3 years he got, I can only recall, about two hits.
They pitched him tight, too?
Strike him out, and he hated hit me against me worse than any hitter. And The third baseman.
For the Athletics?
Yeah.
Or your third baseman?
No, the Athletics. He managed Chicago for...
Jimmy Dykes.
Yeah, Jimmy Dykes. Now, I'd see him a lot down there. He was talking about Simmons. Boy, he hated you the worst of anybody. He didn't want to even play. And we were playing them. See, I went to the Yankees at the end of the season in 30 to pay for Crosetti and win that deal. But I finished up with him. And they were playing, we was in Philadelphia. Bob Schalke was managing. And Simmons and Gehrig was having a battle for leadership. They was hitting around 380, something like that. And we was having a meeting, and Harry Rice, I wasn't pitching, Harry Rice was with us. He was a pretty good ball player when he was a big timer, wouldn't stay in shape. But I never say how I'd pitched it. He wouldn't have made any difference, because they wouldn't believe me. He said, Sam pitched him, crowded him fastball high and tight, and he'd never get a base hit off. Oh, Schalke said, oh, if you pitch him inside, he'll hit him out of that, over that stadium out in left field. Well, I never saw so many base hits. He was pitching them outside. Had his pitchers all outside. You never saw so many base hits into right field or against the fence and in the hole. And he won the championship that year, beat Gehrig out. I think he hit 381, something like that. But I could first time I relieved in three straight days against Athletics, first time I saw him. I was in 26. And Simmons was hitting good, but that's style of pitching. I never thought, unless it'd tell me different, I'd always, if I didn't know a right-hand hitter, he had to prove that he could hit me pitching the ball inside and high.
Right. Did you throw an underhand? Could you throw a screwball? Did you break it in on a right-hander?
No, it would sail. Mm-hmm. I'd hold it.
Your fastball would sail in on it?
I'd hold it cross. I'd cross the seams like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd turn it loose like this.
Oh.
The ball would go like that. And I'd fetch it inside and it's just shooting. Just sailed, go like that. It had the same spin, I guess. The only thing wasn't, I threw it off in my fingers. I didn't have to break my wrist. Shooting in, I hit a lot of right-handed hitters. That I hit one guy and broke his hands, hit him on the bat. And I bet the ball wasn't that far inside.
Mm.
He was guessing with me.
Yeah.
Followed. They got a second baseman of Oakland, Hugh Luby. He was with the Athletics. It was the last week of the season. And I hit him and broke his finger, the bone just stuck out. I guess it hit him on the right hand. The bone just stuck right out through his finger. And he and I were good friends. And I went up to the plate. He said, well, he didn't say about hitting. He said, well, I haven't guessed one right all day. What he was doing, he was trying to guess. He knew what it'd be. It'd be a fastball. But he was trying to, instead of guessing the pitch, would it be a fastball on the curve, he was trying to guess, would it be inside, whether it be outside?
Mm-hmm.
And he guessed wrong. He guessed inside, and the ball sailed in on him. He said, I'd throw the slider that he had to go outside, just break a little bit outside, and it, the other way, it'd break inside. and they go in for the fist, and if they started, they couldn't get out of the way of it to save their life. If they had made up their mind to look for the outside pitch, and it was close, it would get them.
Well, that explains why Luby didn't play much in the major leagues. He wasn't guessing all the time, and he wasn't a great hitter anyway. I remember him from the Pacific Coast League. He played in the Pacific Coast League quite a while, too. Hey, you mentioned Garrick a while ago, did you? What kind of luck did you have with Garrick?
Pretty good, inside. Yeah. Cried him with a fastball.
Well, now were you throwing him curves or fastballs?
Fastball, sailor. Uh-huh. Slider, a little slider. When I come down, come underhanded, I'd turn it, and it'd go off with his finger. Mm-hmm. See, I'd grip it real tight with the middle finger. Instead of gripping it tight with this one, it just hold enough to control it. And it's shooting.
Was Manush your center fielder in Detroit?
Yeah.
I mentioned him to Wes Farrell a few years ago. Wes said, boy, Manush got a bunch of base hits off him.
Well, now, some kind of hit. 3-26, Manush. Moriarty ruined him. Every time I guess he'd hear that, pull that ball. Mm-hmm. Well, Manush was in 26. He hit 378, I believe it was. And he'd hit where the pitch is outside. He could hit line drives. If it was inside, he could hit line drives to right. But Manush, Moriarty wanted to pull everything, and the outside pitches was just lazy flies. And it ruined him. He didn't hit anything. He had less than 300. Two.
He came down here for a while. He managed Greensboro in the old Carolina League, just before I came to Greensboro, in the late 40s.
But he was a good hitter in 26.
Of course, you played with Gehringer, too. He was a pretty good hitter, too.
Yeah. Well, I played with Gehringer in 25.
Yeah.
Over Toronto.
Yeah, anyway. Well, you and him went up to Detroit at the same time,
same
I imagine.
Time.
Yeah. And your first baseman, Lou Blue, was your first baseman.
Yeah.
Who was your shortstop?
Tavener.
Who?
Tavener.
Uh-huh.
Jackie Warner was third base.
Yeah.
Just outfield was good hitters.
Yeah. Mama, Manush, and Cobb. And Fats Fothergill.
Fats Fothergill.
He could
hit. Funny thing. Manush hit 378. Fothergill, Hallman, Wingo.
Yeah, and Cobb.
I know. Cobb hit 367. Fothergill hit 367. And Hallman hit 367. And Manush hit 378. That was three outfields. But
and the ball club finished sixth. Didn't have any pitching besides you and Whitehill.
And, see, that was Warner, who was a young fella. Tavern is young, and Burke and Gehringer made up the second base.
Yeah.
And that time, neither one was good hitters.
Yeah.
And Blue was a weak hitter. He never hit 300. But just they'd score a lot of runs, even just the three outfielders got them together hitting that much.
You were. You must have hit against Rove.
Oh, I probably had the games that I hit and pitched against. I bet I had out hit anybody in the league.
No kidding. did he throw strictly the fastball in those days?
Most all, the only thing, his curveball wasn't so good. He wasn't deceptive. I know he threw me a curveball one day and I pulled it down the right field line for a double, but I hit.
You hit right-handed or left-handed?
Left-handed.
Oh.
But he'd pitch me right up there. He'd pitch me high, outside. And I didn't, I let him furnish the power. I just stand up there, like that. Hit the ball solid as line drive, short line drive over the, right down the third baseline. Mm-hmm. Al Simmons got where, a lot of times he'd stand out there, he'd add 1 foot in foul territory. He'd laugh about it. He'd come in right behind second base, because when Grove was pitching, you couldn't take a big swing. While the fellows were swinging hard, they'd generally go back to the bench.
It was in the mitt when they were swinging. Was he the fastest pitcher you ever saw? Who was the fastest pitcher?
Oh, no, I didn't think he had good stuff. He followed, I hated, as a Pipgrass, the Yankees.
George Pipgrass, yeah.
Oh, he could throw out. And he was just as fast as, I thought, as fast as forward. Because I never pitched. The only time I ever hit against followers in an exhibition game. But I hit against him. I was a little bit afraid of Pipgrass. Because the way he'd take, you know, he's tall, and man, he'd cut that letter. He didn't look like me. He knew where the ball was going. And the fellow threw as hard as he did. But Grove was true. You knew pretty much where he was going to be, and he didn't have a quick snapping hit. It was a little bit break, but it wasn't fast.
Well, he didn't start throwing a curve and didn't learn to throw a curve until he lost his fastball.
His curveball wasn't much. Mm-hmm. He had to take a little off of the speed of it, and he just powder rolled.
You saw Fox was just breaking in then, I guess.
I pitched against Fox in 4 years, 25, 26, 27, 28. He's at
Baltimore. Oh, no, in the Eastern Shore League.
He was in the International
League. In the International was it Baltimore?
No, it was...
Shucks.
One up above New York. Providence.
Providence, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
They had a Tucker franchise up there. He played with them.
But he was just a kid when he came 17. Up, too. Yeah.
Funny thing about him, he was 17 then, and 5 years later, he's still 17. Funny.
I guess, of course, he played very little in the minor leagues, but he could...
Well, he just had 1 year in the National League. I don't know if he had a whole year or not. But he could hit.
Yeah, obviously.
A lot of power. Too bad he was... Didn't take any bit of care of himself.
Yeah, I never knew that. When I was a kid, he was my hero, and I didn't... He was a drinker, but evidently just a marvelous fellow. Could put away the booze, I understand. Yeah. Of course, a lot of them. Of course, Ruth could put away the booze, too. Yeah. And so could Paul Wainer.
Paul Wainer. You never knew it. Paul Wainer, he could stagger going to plate, but he couldn't prove it. But a funny thing. Some of the good hitters, some of the lots of hitters I had more trouble with that didn't swing hard than fellas like Wainer. I didn't have much trouble with Wainer. He was a high ball, he was a low ball hitter, and Lloyd was a high ball hitter. Just the difference. See, he was high, and he's the first year he played, I think he had 151 singles.
Lloyd, yeah, right.
And Paul, you pitched low to him, boy, he could hit that ball. Tried everything that I pitched quite a bit against him, and I had pretty good luck. And Joe Sewell was another guy that I could pitch. Well, I pitched high at him.
Did you ever strike out Joe Sewell?
No.
Nobody ever struck out Joe Sewell.
The only hit struck out 4 or 5 times a year.
That's right. Yes, sir. Really. Fantastic. Fantastic. He must not have taken very much of a swing.
He hit the ball hard. But he said he could see that ball. He'd watch to see. He could see the seams. When he got there, he had to. He didn't swing. He didn't take a big cut. Mm-hmm. Hit the ball hard, but the line drives.
Nuzio said he could see the seams. I guess it was, and Williams said he could see the seams too. I guess a really good hitters can.
They got real eyes. They see every move the ball makes. But I don't see how the cat could see the seams if that ball was spinning. The only way you could see a seam that it would be a knuckleball.
Yeah,
I think of that, but if you fellow throws a ball that's spinning as fast as it's traveling, I don't see how a man could see a seam.
I just thought of something. You talk about pitching underhand and finishing up on your knee. Did they bunt on you? Did you have any trouble fielding position?
Well, I didn't. Yeah, at times. But I'd had ball clubs that tried to beat me, and they wouldn't do it. It's a funny thing, in San Diego, they had a good ball club. D'Alessandro, he went up to the Cubs.
Yeah.
He had 370 for them, and they had a catcher. Oh, I can't think of his name. It's a 350 hitter. And I've had those close ball games. And I've had those guys to come up one after another and try to bunt. Well, I didn't go all the way down on my knee if I was expecting to bunt. I could move my foot. And I'd beat them. I'd beat the club consistently. And they'd try to beat me a bunt, and they could have beaten me by hitting the ball out of the park. And I never could understand it. They had a good ball club, but I'd beat them, and they'd still try to bunt me.
Did you ever have any arm trouble?
Yeah, that would have got me out of the big league.
Yeah,
I... 27, 28, I had arm trouble. Went out to San Francisco, and Lenny Carroll, now he was really a magician with the arms. I went out there, I couldn't break a plane of glass. Actually couldn't. One spring training, we had 7 weeks. And we trained at a lousy spot in Monterey Bay, right down foul balls would go over in the bay.
Mm-hmm.
And it's wet, wind up blowing, foggy. And in that wind, I didn't think when I went out there. Way my arm felt that I could ever pitch again. Well, Denny Carroll, he'd loosen me up a little, go out. My arm was dead as it could be.
When was this? Was this in 31?
31.
Mm-hmm.
But every day we'd get through, he'd make me had a little roll pot-bellied cold stoves in there to dry out the uniform. He'd make me sit down and bake my back about the arm, shoulder. And about 30 minutes, look like a piece of raw beef. And then he'd give me a good stretching and massage. And and went along that way about, oh, close to a month. And all of a sudden it got on me and my arm seemed like it'd give and have good stuff, and the next day it'd be light. But when the season started, started the exhibition series, my arm was really, it'd gotten back. If I'd have been in the big league, 31, with Denny, it kept me loosened up, I probably won 20 games in the big league.
Well, you won 28 in San Francisco. Led the league in earned run average, led the league in strikeouts, led the league in innings pitched, so I guess your arm got all right.
Oh, it's just like a rubber hose.
41 ball games. Of course, that was when they played that long season out there. They played, what, 170?
160.
In the Pacific Coast League, they played quite a long season.
Yeah, they did go into 208, but I've forgotten how many games they played. But I was averaging, in that 41 games, I averaged, even in the, and I relieved, when only pitched last inning, was a battling for the Los Angeles for the lead, and I lost the first game, and I finished up. I had two. It's funny, and really funny. I didn't have good stuff in the first game, but I'd gone eighth inning, 2-2, and I had two men out, and the first baseman dropped two, popped fouls right at first base. In succession, 2-1 after another, with two men out, uh-huh. And the score tied.
Yeah.
And then the guy hit a home run. That broke the tie. Uh-huh. But they started, they scored six runs after that. Well, they beat me 8-2. And they had a good ball club, too, that year. Los Angeles, Hollywood, and us. We had three good ball clubs. But Hollywood beat... We beat... Hollywood won the first half. And we beat Los Angeles out for the second half. And they had a man on... First and third, score 2-1. And it looked like they're calling the well, Sam, the starting the catcher, Gilly Campbell. He was a good hitter, and he liked to talk. So, sent him in, he caught the first game, sent him in to pinch hit. And I never felt like I did in that game. It felt like I was all charged up. I made three pitches to him, and the ball was in the mitt when he swung. I didn't think I'd ever been any faster in my life, and this after resting the first game, I hadn't felt good the whole ball game. I struck him out on three pitches, just blew it by him, and the next guy popped up, and that was, had the man on third base, two men on, and the next guy popped up in the infield. Next day, he had asked all time ribbing, he was ribbing me how he could hit, how he'd hit me. I come out. I said, who was that? I said, somebody, he was Cage. I said, who was that rookie they said in his bench yesterday? he'd come into the clubhouse all the time and talk to that trainer. And I told him I kept a black book, a little black book. Every hitter, every time that they got a base hit, I'd set it down what they hit. Mm-hmm. And he asked Johnson, he came in there one day and said, does he have a black book? He said, sure does. He says, could you get it? And could I see it? He'd always tell me how many hits were there. I said, listen, I can tell you every time I'd call over, I said, you got to hit a certain time, and why you hit it, and what you hit. And he believed, he thought I really had a black book.
But, you were talking about Cobb telling you how to pitch and so forth. Did he sometimes call pitches from center field? Would he tell you what to throw?
Well, yeah, he told me what to throw.